I have vivid memories of my first job out of college, graduating from engineering school at Syracuse University. Had an engineering job with a company north of Philadelphia in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. And I started that job as an electrical engineer teamed up with a senior engineer, and I was to be his assistant so that I could learn the trade, learn what it really meant to be an engineer from this senior engineer. So we began working on projects together, and I learned very quickly what it meant to be a gopher for somebody. So I was going for stuff all the time in order to please him. But I felt like it was pretty quick. It was pretty short order that I had this nailed. I got this engineering thing figured out. I know how to be a project engineer. And so I began making suggestions about how we could do things better. And I started taking my own initiative. That was not received well. It was not received well. I was the young boy in the department, 21, 22 years old, and I was expected to earn my way into any position of responsibility. It's not handed to me. I had to earn it. So I had to earn my credentials for the authority that I so badly wanted. Well, Jesus was teaching in this passage today, and actually all of the readings today have to do with this idea of authority and responsibility. Authority and responsibility. The chief priests had seen Jesus preaching. They'd seen him drive out by force the merchants from the temple courtyard. What they did not see was anything that justified this young Jesus to presume that he had the authority for what he was doing. I mean, he was 30 years old, right, at the beginning of his ministry. He had no master's degree. He didn't have some powerful CEO looking down on him saying, take good care of this boy. So he had nobody really vouching for the authority he was claiming. Well, Jesus ended up using this conversation with the chief priests, really using the logic of a rabbi to talk about John the Baptist and to tell the chief priests that even though he was only in his early 30s, he didn't have to earn a position of authority because he was speaking with the authority of God. And it was authority from God. So he wasn't really claiming his own authority. He wasn't saying, I'm the authority. He was saying, I'm here representing the mind of God and representing the authority of God in what I'm doing and in what I'm teaching. So he told the story of the two sons, one who had rejected his father's call to go to work, but he went anyways. And then the one who said he would go and then did not go. The moral of the story is that what pleases God is not the fine words we say if they're not followed up with action, if they're not followed up with us walking the walk. And it also doesn't work for us to say the right words and then do nothing about it. We are responsible to live by our faith. That's a responsibility that you and I have as followers of Jesus, of believers in God, to not just believe there's a greater power that made everything in the Big Bang, but for us to make a decision to commit ourselves, to live our lives with that faith in God being with us, living in us, who's guiding us through every day. We're being held responsible for that. Paul offers us some help in his letter to the Philippians to understand how this authority of God works. And so there are three pieces to what he said that I want to zero in on here. He said, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And I think a way to understand that is to say, And this verse really, really, I think, brings that out if you read it in this context. Jesus was God. He knew he was divine. He had all the authority he needed to do whatever he wanted to do, but he didn't claim it. Somebody tried to crown him as king, right? And he ran away. He refused to be crowned as king. He did not want that kind of authority. What he wanted instead was to operate from a position of humility so that he knew he was living out God's plan for him. And that if he fulfilled that plan that God had for him, then he could claim the authority of God in what he taught and what he did. So it wasn't about having his own authority, his own claim of divine power, but saying that I'm going to commit my life on earth here to living out God's purpose for me. And by doing that, I know that that pleases God and that God will give me the authority I need to make the right decisions and to do the right things. The second thing he said was, Paul said in this letter to the people in Philippi, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. I think about that all the time. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And, you know, an important point to that is we do not inherit being Christians. We're not Christians because our parents were Christians. We're not Christians because we hang around with Christians. We are Christians because you and I, each of us individually, make that decision that we are inviting Christ into our life. We're inviting His Spirit to live inside us and to work on our spirit to keep us under control and to have us really want to have the mind of Christ in us. So it's important for us to understand the importance of making that decision, making that choice. And in my case, it's a daily choice. It's not a once and done thing. It's every morning deciding, is that the life I'm going to live? He also said, it is God who is at work in you. God doesn't show his presence in us by having us glow in the dark. He doesn't instantly make us perfect and we never do anything wrong. It isn't like once we say we believe in God, nothing bad ever happens to us. I think we can all say, yep, that's right, right? That's not how God's presence shows itself. But what can happen is for you and me to learn to hear God's voice through dreams, through thoughts that pass through our minds, through the unlimited flow of God incidents that happen around us, of people just being in the right place at the right time or the right person calling me just when I knew I had to say something to them, but I was trying to put it off. But the phone rings and it's them. I mean, when those kinds of things happen, those are God incidents, not coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. They are God incidents. We can learn to recognize those things happening in our life. And we can learn to use them to guide us. The last piece that Paul said to the Philippians, God is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So this is really the answer to the chief priests in the parable that Jesus said to them. What's better, to say the wrong thing and then to do the right thing? Or to say the right thing and then not do it. You know, which is right? And the best answer through this parable is to learn how God thinks. And then to think like God thinks. And then to act in a way that pleases and honors God. And Paul says that by God being at work in you, God being at work in me, God enables you to want and to work for the things that please God. To want and to work for the things that please God. I want to give you another example of me that was a lot better reflection of this than when I was a young engineer. About 15 years ago, I got a phone call from one of my brothers in northern New York that my dad had a splitting headache, intense pain, and they were on the way to the hospital in Syracuse. And they loaded him into the car. He passed out in the car. I got on a plane and headed back. While I was in the car, he ended up going into a coma. When I got there, I learned that he had suffered a severe brain aneurysm. And the doctors had had to do a lot of cauterizing, a lot of repair work to stop the bleeding. And they said that there was so much work they had to do to stop the bleeding that he may never come out of the coma. If he does come out of the coma, he would probably not be able to speak, and he would very probably not recognize any of us. I'm the oldest. I've got two brothers, two younger brothers, and a younger sister. And they really expected me to be the one to work with the doctors and the nurses and with my family for us to go through the journey of figuring out what do we do about life support, what do we do about decisions that needed to be made. Well, I didn't ask for that authority. I didn't want that authority. I didn't like that authority, but I had that authority. But it was a different situation than being this cocky young engineer, because by then I had a much more mature faith. And hopefully we can all look back 10 or 15 years and say it's more mature. And I had asked God to really be in the middle of all that. And I had asked God to really guide me in the conversations I would have with my family, because I wanted it to be a time for us to pull together, not fracture and split up. I wanted it to be a time that we had absolute confidence that this was our dad's will, it was God's will, it was the proper decision for us to make. And I really felt that's exactly what happened. And it was a very different feeling I walked away from than being that young engineer thinking, well, I deserve the authority. I never claimed any authority there. I was really claiming God's authority to guide us in what decisions to make. I think that's what all of us are called to do in this walk as Christians, to think about the responsibility we have and think about the authority we have, deciding to live this life that pleases God. That's what Jesus did, and he gave away his divinity. He even gave away his life to prove his love for us so that he would know that would please God beyond measure. I wish I had had that sense of authority when I was the new project engineer. And I wish I'd been more aware of that when I was a new husband, when I was a new dad. It would have been good to start earlier. So hopefully this sermon will help you maybe start a little earlier or pick up the pace. I think the key piece of learning here is to be confident that through yours and my decision to be the people of God, for you and me to live our lives to please God, we have been given the authority to claim God's approval. But the approval of God is based on us carrying God's presence with us and in us in every facet of our lives. And this isn't a self-serving authority. It's not about claiming I'm speaking God's word. It's not about building up something that serves me. It is a humble authority based on God being in you and God choosing to work through you and through you choosing to live that life of faith. It's your choice to live that life of faith. Amen.